You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, why you don't believe we're on the deep of destruction.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's live broadcast of TPC, Is the American Empire in retreat? Is it on its eve of destruction? Well, that's probably wishful thinking, but let's hope so, huh? Welcome to tonight's live broadcast with TPC. James Edwards and Keith Alexander this Saturday evening, August the 21st. We were talking about that song by Barry McGuire. It's a great song in terms of his voice and the arrangement behind it. If you can just get past the lyrics, particularly in the third and fourth verses, if you could change out the lyrics.
We will not be playing the third and fourth verses for you, okay?
No.
Because that's the most wrong-headed message ever. But it is really good for us to be thinking about withdrawing from all of these foreign adventure wars that are being fought. You know, the truth is out now. Why were we fighting these wars? Two things. One, Jewish power and influence. They all happen to be in the Middle East. And two, the military-industrial complex.
Well, that could be 1A to the 1B you just mentioned. And yes, I mean, this war, this occupation in Afghanistan for the last 20 years was just about what every war is about, and that's money, power, and land.
Well, the military-industrial complex wants us to buy the tools of the trade, as Country Joe and the Fish said in Vietnam Rag, from them. You know, Putin was laughing at America. They now have thoroughly modernized their military, and they've cut off spending for new military weapons programs because they don't need it. We'll never be there because our military-industrial complex is always hungering for more government money.
All right.
And they get it.
Let's do this as organized as we can. Basically, let me give you a snapshot of what's coming up tonight, ladies and gentlemen. As you probably have already figured out for yourself, we're going to be talking about Afghanistan for the full first hour. The second hour, Gene Andrews will be back with all the details, now less than a month away from the reinterment of Nathan Bedford Forrest. He's going to be back with us for the second hour for all the details about that. Virginia Abernathy, Dr. Abernathy, our good friend from Vanderbilt University, will be with us in the third hour to talk about the vanishing American dream. But first, Afghanistan. That's the big story. One of the biggest stories, really, in the last decade, if not longer. As you know, there are a quartet, the Fab Four, that seem to always get mentioned in some shape, form, or fashion on any given show. It's Brad Griffin, it's Sam Dixon, it's Paul Craig Roberts, it's William S. Lynn. They seem to always get a mention, even if they're not on. Brad has written a pretty good article. I'll use this as our opening shot on this topic, Keith. We'll turn it over to you for some response. And then I think over the course of this hour, we're going to give what happened this week in Afghanistan a pretty good turn. So, Brad writes, the withdrawal wasn't botched, and it's better that it happened the way it did, because otherwise the Pentagon would have found an excuse to keep thousands of troops in Afghanistan forever, like in Japan or South Korea or Germany. The only thing that has happened here is that a corrupt puppet government with zero legitimacy, which was always rotten to the core, has fallen apart in a span of less than 2 weeks. Let's take a look at what is happening now. The political establishment is seething. The corporate media is seething. Neocons and true cons like Mitt Romney and Ben Sasse are seething. The Pentagon has been exposed as incompetent and have learned nothing from Vietnam. The so-called intelligence community has been exposed and humiliated. Globo Homo has suffered a defeat. And the fall of Afghanistan is a huge blow to the American empire and will weaken it elsewhere. We're out of Afghanistan for real. What's not to like? The Taliban has seized control of state television. The pride flag has been taken down. Women will no longer be subjected to the poison of radical feminism that was being injected by the American regime. Homosexuality is being outlawed again in Afghanistan. Mitch McConnell, Ben Sasse, that ilk think we should be outraged by this and stay there forever in order to protect liberal democracy and
Lindsey
so-called
Graham
women's
can
rights.
No longer vacation in Afghanistan than if homosexuality has been
correct
outlawed.
That's probably why he was so incensed this week. Yes, but here's the thing you got to remember, folks. Hey, let's look at this objectively and let's have a grown up conversation about it. It was their country. It's not our country. It's their problems, not our problems. The Taliban represents Afghanistan a hell of a lot more than the United States and their puppet government. The journalists are saying this is the worst thing that's happened since the fall of Saigon, but this is something you should take a look at. They never bring up the fact that Saigon and Vietnam are doing great now. Have you seen, I mean, it's not called Saigon anymore. It's Ho Chi Minh City. Go to YouTube and look up Ho Chi Minh City. It's a thriving metropolis now. The war which devastated Vietnam and cost tens of thousands of American lives and which was led by technocrats, that was the real tragedy. Our insertion into Afghanistan in the first place was the real tragedy. It was always a grift from the top to the bottom. And sure, there were massacres and reprisal after we left Vietnam, but that's how these things always shake out after wars which have gone on for decades. It's wars which create the bitterness and the displaced waves of refugees. The idea that we could transform Iraq or Afghanistan into the United States was always laughable. The American occupation was an unsustainable blip in the history of the region. The Pentagon and the intelligence community spent decades lying to American presidents and the American people about their puppet government in Kabul. It was always going to end this way. I'm not sorry we're out of Afghanistan. I'm sorry we didn't leave earlier. I'm sorry we went there to begin with. And I doubt the vast majority of the country will hold this against Joe Biden. Broken clock, right twice a day. Pig finding an acorn, whatever analogy you want to use. Plenty of reasons to be angry with Biden. This isn't one of them. And this helps our position. This is something that I think all of us look at with a little amusement this week, Keith.
Well, it's about time. We're out of Afghanistan, finally. The longest war in the history of the United States of America. What they're doing, what the Taliban is doing is just absolutely throwing a monkey wrench in the plans of our anti-white American government. Our anti-white American government wants to get the Afghans out first. Afghans seem to specialize, at least in England, in prepubescent rapes over there. So I guess that's we need more of that in America, so they want to bring them over here. But the Taliban is saying, we'll let all of the Americans go. We're not going to stand in your way a bit, but we're not going to let Afghans go. And, of course, the Biden administration and the Republicans want primarily for the Afghans to come out first. They're using our own people as hostages so they can never let a true crisis go to waste, as Rahm Emanuel said, and use this to flood us with yet another group of foreign, non-white refugees into America. And, you know, this is so predictable. Why is anybody surprised? But the Taliban is not going to have any part of that. They're going to keep the Afghans there, and that is absolutely driving the neocons and the left into a tizzy.
Keith, tell them we intercepted a transmission from the Biden administration to their collaborators in Afghanistan, the people who collaborated against their own people in aid of the American occupation. We're going to play it for them when we come back.
Right. That's our intro music. This is Joe Biden to his Afghan allies.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives pain capable bill, which would end painful late term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life
for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Go away from my window. Believe at your own chosen speed. I'm not the one you want, babe. I'm not the one you need. You say you're looking for someone who's never weak, but always.
Indeed, that is the song of the military-industrial complex to their collaborators in Afghanistan. They have been left holding the bag, and they fell pretty quick. And that is a thing that's really astonishing. You look at supposedly there was an army outfitted with American weaponry and American training, 300,000 strong, and it fell with just literally within a matter of hours.
Can you imagine
if you want to get
how
down
much
to
it caused to train and equip that army? Billions upon billions of dollars. And they folded like a cardboard outhouse in a hailstorm.
Supposedly, you know, you're looking at $2 trillion, and we were talking about the money. And that's really what this is all about. I mean, just take a look. $2 trillion made a lot of people rich. We saw Liz Cheney, and, you know, look, they're not upset about what happened here. They're upset that the
gravy train is derailed. Finally.
That's right. But this whole thing was just a money-making scheme. And it was corrupt. It was wrong.
Complex.
I got to be clear, though, now, even though I enjoy seeing a corrupt, bloated regime like the American regime get a black eye, that's not to say that the Afghanis, the Taliban, are our allies. Of course, the Muslim people have been a menace to Europe and a menace to Christians. For all of history.
But there's a very, very easy and simple way to stop that threat. Enforce your borders, Europe. Enforce your borders, America, rather than spending money. Remember the argument about Afghanistan by George W. Bush? If we don't fight them over there, we're going to have to fight them here. No, you don't. Fight them here. Don't let them in the nation, idiots.
Well,
and we won't have to worry about spending trillions upon trillions of dollars over there.
And we're, of course, always on the side of the historic American people, but there is a big disconnect, of course, between the American people and this system. We use sometimes interchangeably the terms regime and system. I talk about the regime media. That's something that Peter Brimelow and I use. And Sam Dixon is right when he says, well, you talk about the regime, people get the idea that you're just talking about the government, but it's really the whole system that is working against us. And the system includes not only the government, but the courts, academia, the establishment churches now, on and on and on. So
see, what they use things like the fall of Afghanistan to do is to pump even more foreigners into America. And the Taliban wants Afghans to stay in Afghanistan. I don't know whether they plan to kill them. They may plan to kill some of them. They may plan to kill all of them.
If you betray your people,
they may plan to kill none of them. We don't know, but on the other hand, it doesn't matter to our government. They want to use this as an opportunity to pump another great infusion of foreigners, strangers, into America dilute the power of white America.
That was the thing. I saw Mitt Romney crying this week about the women. Of course, they don't care anything about the women of Afghanistan. You know, if they cared about the women, they wouldn't want to inject them with the poison of radical feminism and gender studies and all of these things. This is their talking point now, though. We can't leave because the women are going to be mistreated. The women are not going to be mistreated, by the way. I mean, they're going to go back to their natural submissive state as a support group and raising families.
I wish the Taliban could get a hold of Mitt Romney.
I said, you know, Mitt, if you believe in it so much, why don't you and Lindsey Graham and Ben Sasse, Bill Kristol, why don't you go over there and fight? If you believe in this cause so much, you go over there and fight. But so I was wondering, though, do I have the pulse on this thing right? So we put up another Twitter poll. This Twitter poll, by the way, was widely circulated and retweeted and so on. We only ran it for a few hours, but it had hundreds of votes. And the question was, which group do you believe to be more morally upright? Which group is more morally upright, the United States government or the Taliban? Out of hundreds of votes in just a very short amount of time, the results are in. 92.8% find the Taliban to be more moral than the 7.2% who voted for the U.S. government.
You know, just think about this. America is doing all of this regime change and all of this military adventurism throughout the globe to promote what has been called globo homo, okay? Basically, this left-wing, changing your culture to fit with the values of San Francisco metamorphosis they want to impose upon the entire world. And you wonder why there is so much opposition to America throughout the rest of the globe, particularly in the Middle East.
Well, I saw this, Keith. This was just a random, I mean, obviously social media has been abuzz about what's happening, and I saw a tweet, and it reads, the Taliban has announced their political agenda for Afghanistan includes the banning of abortion, the outlawing of gay marriage, the rejection of science, which I think by science, I mean, we're looking at pseudoscience like climate change and this corona thing. There was a funny meme going around. It had one of these Taliban guys taking a sledgehammer to a television set. They said he just killed COVID. But vaccines are against their religion. No separation of church and state. Religion is going to be taught in schools. Of course, it's going to be their religion, not the Christian faith. But I looked at this and I was like, all right. But this reporter intended that to be like a bad thing. It looked like everything that was going on there is something that I could get behind. There was another one where it said that the Kabul University offers Afghanistan's first master's degree in gender and women's studies, and somebody was saying, pretty sure that class is canceled now. But here's the kicker. The Afghanis defeated the Soviets' attempts to install communism. Now they've defeated the United States' attempt to install LGBTQ and BLM rule. And this happened, Keith, with just a few dedicated men armed with not much more than rifles. That's what did this. And if the people withdraw their consent, the system can be overwhelmed.
Well, there's a lesson there for all of us. And everybody that has tried to conquer Afghanistan, starting with Alexander the Great, has failed. There's something about Afghanistan, okay, that we need to try to figure it out and try to bottle it and sell it in America, because we don't want to be transformed any more than the Afghans do. But we have this pernicious elite opinion in America that is going to convert us by hook or crook. They're going to drag us kicking and screaming into San Francisco. Basically, San Francisco is the new middle America. Wherever you live, Kenosha, Wisconsin, Springfield, Arkansas, Meridian, Mississippi, wherever it is, they want America to be, to ascribe to the values of San Francisco. And of course, people in the Middle East, this is an anathema to them. So why are we spending all of this money trying to convert people against their will to a left-wing progressive agenda that is making America very, very unpopular throughout the world? You know, I hope this has a domino effect. They talked about Vietnam having a domino effect with communism taking over. I hope that our withdrawal from Afghanistan has a domino effect, and we go all the way back maybe to the Monroe Doctrine, that we just deal with things in the Western Hemisphere, or even beyond that, to George Washington's farewell address. He told us not to get involved in foreign wars or to have special relationships with any foreign nation.
It was true then, and it's true now. And you mentioned Alexander the Great. And, of course, see, Alexander had this problem, too, where he thought he could make all races into good Greeks. And we know that that didn't work. Although his occupation of the land that is now known as Afghanistan was a little more successful than ours, the Greeks were able to maintain a presence there where Greek culture was dominant for about 300 years. People forget about that. They were able to do that. And so the Greeks' occupation of Afghanistan is probably going to last longer than the United States of America. We're not going to, I don't think we're going to make it to 2076.
Even though it's our longest war, it's a lot less long than their domination of Afghanistan.
But of course, they were still ran out eventually because, of course, that's Afghanistan. And it's it chews empires up and spits them out. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. Bipartisan lawmakers with military backgrounds on Friday took part in a roundtable to discuss the situation in Afghanistan, urging the White House to extend their evacuation efforts beyond the Kabul airport, while arguing the August 31st deadline was helping fuel the chaos on the ground. Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee Thursday demanded to know where Vice President Kamala Harris has been after the fall of Afghanistan. Speaking to Newsmax.
Where is she defending women and girls, standing up for human rights, standing up for these women and girls who we know they're going to be pushed into sex slavery? They're going to have to hide in houses because the Taliban has said they are going to eliminate them.
This is USA Radio News.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will soon be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regards to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We're not influenced by big corporations or political parties. Our great passion is to expose the spread of socialism and communism. We cover the Chinese Communist Party and how it works to subvert American education and politics. We cover big issues like election integrity, the exploding national debt, the fight against coronavirus, and the truth about its origins. We cover Democrats and Republicans in exactly the same way. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of our printed paper and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at TrustedNewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. TrustedNewspaper.com. Help the Epoch Times keep truth alive.
COVID continues to spread in one of the country's largest school districts. Los Angeles County health officials announcing yesterday the death of a teenager with underlying conditions. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky on CBS News yesterday. And what needs to be done to stop COVID from spreading in schools?
Masking in schools, absolutely. Distancing, cohorting, testing in schools to decrease transmission. Indeed, we are seeing a concerning number of children who are getting sick from COVID-19. But in many of those cases, and in most of those cases, it is because these prevention measures are actually not being taken.
Walensky yesterday congratulating the Atlanta Falcons on being the first NFL team to reach 100% vaccination. She tweets, teamwork like this is what it will take to defeat this virus. GM issuing a recall of the Chevy Bolt. The company announcing Friday it's recalling all Bolts worldwide because the electric car's lithium-ion batteries could catch fire. The recall involving about 60,000 cars in the U.S. and 73,000 worldwide. This latest recall prompted after a car in Arizona caught fire a few weeks ago. This is USA Ready News.
Go lightly from the ledge, babe. Go lightly on the ground. I'm not the one you want, babe. I only lead you down. You say you're looking for someone who promised to never to call. Someone who closed his eyes to you. Someone who closed his heart. Someone who loves every you and more. But it ain't me, babe.
Welcome back, everybody, as we continue to talk about Afghanistan. Now, there is an interesting Turtles connection to the retreat of the American forces out of Afghanistan. On September 10th, 2001, the day before 9/11, I was actually at a concert with my grandmother and her sister and a couple of cousins and my brother. My parents were in, I believe, Williamsburg, Virginia on vacation, and we had gone to see a concert. I stayed at home, and we all went to go see the Turtles. We actually saw them the night before 9/11, and then I thought that this song was sort of fitting for what the collaborators may have been hearing. The Turtles, you know, one of so many bands in the 60s, something like the mid-tier band. They didn't have hundreds of millions of records like the Beatles or the Four Seasons or the Rolling Stones, but, you know, they were right there in that solid mid-tier with you know, the Grassroots and the Buckinghams and people like that. But
well, look, I'll have to disagree a little bit with you. They were cut above the Buckinghams and the Grassroots in that they were a hit machine. They had probably about 10 hits, starting with It Ain't Me, Babe, and ending with Eleanor. Eleanor G, I think you're swell. Remember that song?
Oh, yes. Now, but unfortunately,
and you know what? You know how they broke up? It was a Jewish band, and they loved Frank Zappa. And Flo and Eddie, the two leading lights of the band, decided they were going to join Frank Zappa and his band. Remember, Don't Go Where the Huskies Go, Look Out for That Yellow Snow.
Yeah, that, I think that was good.
Yeah, right. But they basically committed, career suicide by doing that. But they still had a very impressive playlist of songs. They were
we'll
West
do a
Coast.
Battle of the bands later. The Grassroots, I think, matches them tit for tat. Now, I'm a Turtles fan, mind you.
Well, count the number of top 10 hits they had compared to
I think you'd be surprised. You got Midnight Confessions. You got
Where Were You When I Needed You?
But you've also got Temptation Eyes.
That's three.
All right. Well, hang on. Well, I ain't done yet.
Turtles have now. I'm trying to do this. Happy Together. Eleanor.
You're forgetting two of the best. You Baby and She'd Rather Be With Me.
Yeah, that's it.
Now they're all right. Look, they're right there. There's
I would say that at the very least they're comparable, and probably the Turtles sold more records.
Well, like that's not always. Herman's Hermits was one of the top bands of the British Invasion. I think that's a little bit.
They had their top.
I think Herman's Hermits
20s.
is better. Yes, Herman's Hermits is they're a cut above what we're talking about right here. But let's live for today. Another Grassroots. I know the audience loves it when we depart from a serious topic to do a 60s pop music trivia, but in any event, let's get back to it. I think the thing that was most shocking to me was all of the hardware and ordnance that the Americans left behind. One headline reads that the Taliban captured 2,000 U.S.-made armored vehicles and up to 40 aircraft, not to mention countless small arms. I mean, they left... How do you not
like trinkets? This is throwaway stuff. This is like Mardi Gras beads to America.
Well, that's my biggest problem with the whole thing is that I paid for that. That's taxpayer funded stuff. Let's recap what we've covered so far. So every media outlet in the world is crying about the end of the American occupation of Afghanistan. It was a farce that went on for 20 years. The so-called government of Afghanistan had no legitimacy. It was propped up by the Pentagon. All the bad guys are upset about this, so you know something good must have happened.
That's right, yeah.
The Taliban humiliated America. And listen, I'm not saying that the enemy of my enemy is necessarily my friend, but if you don't have a dog in a fight, hey, the American government has caused white Christians a hell of a lot more harm than the Taliban ever did. I could just put it that way, and I think that
and
would
America
be pretty fair.
And America just hemorrhages money in all these stupid foreign adventure wars that never make any permanent change, always wind up like this. No wonder the Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians think they can beat us. We fight all these tin pot dictatorships or you know, uncivilizable countries like Afghanistan. We fight wars in them, and we can't defeat a bunch of insurgents. It's William Lind, you were talking about William Lind. He came up with the concept of fourth generation warfare back in the 1980s. All of our adventurism, military adventurism in the Middle East, falls under the category of fourth generation warfare. It's a nation state going against a group of insurgents, either religiously motivated or regionally motivated or nationally motivated or whatever. And guess what? Despite all of our wealth and all of our armament, we can't defeat them. This is just another one bites the dust, as Queen said. You know, this isn't one more adventure that has turned bad on America. When will they ever learn?
That's where have all the flowers gone?
Yeah, that's right. That's the Kingston Trio now.
Well, Johnny Rivers covered that also. But anyway, it's Rich Hamlin just told me the turtles were CIA assets, so we're gonna have to reassess our thinking on that.
Well, they're Jewish, I know that.
It wasn't a tragedy what happened. It was a beautiful sight. It's what ought to have happened there. You can't blame the Afghans for turning to the Taliban to get these freaks out of their country. They don't see homosexuality and lesbianism and all of these.
That's a great benefit.
And good riddance. I mean, hopefully it will further discredit the political establishment of this country and spur a domino effect that will challenge Globo Homo on multiple fronts all over the world. Why do we cheer America's defeat? Well, it wasn't America's defeat. America won. This corrupt system that we've got was defeated, but that's a totally different thing than what's actually the best interest of our people.
Our elites lost, and our elites need to lose because it's our elites are our enemies.
I think it's the same reason why I cheered when I was denounced by the United States Congress. It's because they are not us, and we are not them. They're an enemy to white Christians. And, of course, again, there's the money angle. A lot of people got rich off of this. Those are the people who are most upset about it being over. And then, of course, there was the poppy fields, and that was a very real thing and a very real moneymaker. All the opioids coming out of there. That's a whole other topic, but that's another thing that may be curtailed now.
Yeah, what's not to like about losing Afghanistan? I hope that America never gets to go to Afghanistan. If they don't, guess what? All the heroin and morphine will dry up, basically.
Well, it's it's addition by subtraction. Now, we were talking about Sam Dixon. You know, the people that do these late night commentaries on the late night news shows or even the comedy shows, they don't write their own content. Now, here, we don't write our own content either. We just always do it freewheeling. We just have a general idea of what we want to talk about, and then we just let it flow. But I have the benefit of receiving some emails from Sam Dixon, and if he keeps writing copy like this, it makes the show better. It makes my work easier. You know what I mean? Here's Sam's take on it. Afghanistan hasn't been a loser for everybody. There's always somebody who wins, or especially when most people lose. And this was something we said earlier. Lynn Cheney and her papa are laughing all the way to the bank. Afghanistan sure worked for them, and how?
The Cheneys, crying all the way to the bank.
They're going to deserve Academy Awards when they choke up and shed a tear at some patriotic gathering to honor our women and men who gave their all. But I really like how Sam put this into he really put a capstone on it, and I'll read that when we come back because I don't think I have enough time before the break. But since the end of World War II, the standing military-industrial complex requires wars every 5 years or so in order to divest itself of its soon-to-be obsolete weaponry so that the American taxpayer can be forced by Congress to keep the pipeline open. So this is why I think, as much as we may like this now, we may not have seen the end of this sort of chicanery.
Well, we have to wonder what the next war will be, because as the Russians have pointed out, we've got to have constant war in order to feed this Moloch-like beast, the military-industrial complex. They've got all these weapons to sell. We buy them. Russia, on the other hand, only develops weapons when they need them to defend themselves. What a novel idea.
This was, to your point, Keith, this was another thing I picked up this week through the email exchanging that was going on. The fact that the USA spends as much on its military as the next 10 countries combined seems to have little effect when the freedom through strength argument is raised. It's not freedom, but oil and profits that feed this system. We had Bob McNamara to blame for Vietnam and the fall of Saigon. Looks like Biden's going to wear the albatross for this one, but let the world beware that in another 5 years, America will be back and we'll find another country worthy of liberation. Who would like to be next?
Well, what did you say? Even a blind hog finds a good acorn every once in a while. Well, maybe Joe Biden found one in Afghanistan.
Well, we'll see. It's definitely been good for now, but I hope that this will be a catalyst for further change in the right direction to come. But it could just be a blip on the radar, and you're back to business as usual in a couple of years. You got to understand how apathetic and short-tenured the American people's memory is. We'll be right back.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Come on, all you big strong men, Uncle Sam needs your help again. Got himself in a terrible jam, way down yonder in Vietnam. Put down your books and pick up a gun, we're gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's one, two, three, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn, the next stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven, working on the curly gates. Well, that ain't no time to wonder why, what are you all? Come on, Wall Street, don't be slow. I'm man, this war a go-go. There's plenty of good money to be made.
supplying the army with the tools of the trade. Just hope and pray that they drop the bomb. We're dropping off the Vietnam. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are you fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. The next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, I ain't no time to wonder why. What are you all gonna die?
That was one Keith pulled out of his novelty box of hits right there.
That's back from the distant past. Country Joe and the Fish, who performed at Woodstock.
In fact,
that was from their performance at Woodstock.
There are a lot of people drawing parallels between Afghanistan and Vietnam. I don't know how many of them are saying what needs to be said, and that is the one thing that they have in common is that we shouldn't have been in either of them. A complete waste of blood and treasure, except for the people who were getting rich off of it, and that's, at the end of the day, what both of those wars were about.
That's what I said. Come on, Wall Street, don't be slow. You want war, go. There's plenty of good money to be made supplying the army with the tools of the trade. That is the one common theme that runs through every one of the foreign wars that we've fought since John F. Kennedy's assassination, basically. Every last war that we fought has enriched the military-industrial complex and has been pointless and didn't gain America anything permanent in the way of an advantage. The only permanent results of those wars has been negative.
Yeah, Keith,
to the American people.
Another thing that I've noticed and others have noticed as well is the Republican reaction to this. They are all the way back firmly into the neocon 2001 George W. Bush era warmongering thing. When Donald Trump ran against Hillary Clinton in 2016, the two things that separated him so refreshingly from the GOP pack were his, of course, calls for a border wall, and secondly, that he completely broke rank with the GOP on foreign intervention. And that was something that just really made him stand out. It's what catapulted him to the nomination and then to the presidency.
People want that. People want to be out of these endless wars, okay?
But now you see this swap on a dime. Again, I got to give attribution to Sam here on this, but I don't want anybody to think I'm smart. But the swap on a dime, complete flagrant, instant, and without the slightest hesitation, perhaps even without awareness. And next year's, if the winds shift again, they'll do a complete 180 again. But the Republican Party during the Trump years were against these foreign entanglements and interventions, and now all of a sudden they're just right back to it.
Well,
and
they
this liberal conservative divide, so utterly hypocritical, seeing them turn on a dime as they both have over the withdrawal from Afghanistan is just the latest instance.
Well, Trump said that he would have gotten out, but he would have gotten out differently. Quite frankly, if the way that it actually plays out looks like the way it is playing out, which is, one, we're going to get our military out of Afghanistan. Two, we're going to get all of the Americans out of Afghanistan safe and sound. And three, we don't take in hardly any Afghan refugees. That would be the best possible result for the historic American nation. We do not need more non-white foreigners in America. We don't need to fight endless wars at extreme expense. Think of the trillions of dollars that were spent equipping and building up an army of 300,000, the Afghan army, and it evaporated like the morning dew.
I gotta say this to everybody listening. If you give me $2 trillion and an army 300,000 strong, that I could do something with that. These people, I don't even know if there was a shot fired.
No, I mean they turned tail and ran before the first shot was fired.
This
is crazy.
Or there was this thing about the puppet president of Afghanistan who was seen
the heck out of Dodge
in a helicopter full of cash. I mean, these people probably never really wanted it to begin with, but as long as it was enriching them temporarily, they were going to go along with it. But this we go back one
last
time.
He's like you said before. He's the former president of Afghanistan is crying all the way to the bank. He's going to Switzerland. He's putting his money in a Swiss bank account. And he's going to sit back and clip coupons for the rest of his life.
Well, and for everybody else who collaborated with the occupation force to look after number one while it lasted, we'll see if they get put up against a wall now that it's all over.
It's every man for himself and every woman for himself right now trying to get out.
I was just going to say very quickly, and I'll give you the final word. Want to go back to Sam Dixon one last time on this. I think this is a good way to sort of bring our take on this to summation here. Sam writes this, in their eyes, and despite their obvious faults, there's truth in the fact that the Taliban has saved their people, their religion, and their country. They don't want American culture. Their mosques will not be used as discos or compelled to perform same-sex marriages. Their children will not be taught to scorn and hate their ancestors. Foreigners will not take charge of their country's resources. They won't be paying reparations to Israel. McDonald's Golden Archers will not rise in triumph over the ancient buildings of their culture, as is the case in pitiful Germany. Biden has done the right thing, and he will reap the political rewards for doing so. 60% of all Americans think we should not have gone there and ought to have gotten out. The painful sight of these colors don't run soldiers having to hastily get the hell out of there and collaborators packing the airport will fade away. Biden, one of the most slavish devotees of the military-industrial complex, will have accomplished a great pivot for the Democratic Party, which will once again be able to posture as the party of peace that is supposedly opposed to war. It's an astute move politically for him, and it's good policy. It's what Trump tried to do, but he was shouted down by the Pentagon and the system media. To Biden's handlers, those troops are needed for more important things, things closer to their country, needed for the next American bullying in Syria or Iran, or maybe even to up the ante against those damned Russians who won't let McDonald's rise in the cathedrals of Red Square, or those hate-filled Hungarians who have racism and anti-Semitism to deny the Zulus the right to live in their country.
Well, what a novel idea it would be if we got these troops and put them on the border to keep out illegal aliens, okay? Wouldn't that be a nice use of our military for a change, deploying them on American soil to defend America's borders? You know, who'd have ever thought of that? You know, what a novel approach for the use of America's
well,
military.
Of course, we know that's not going to happen. And I hesitate to give Biden too much credit. I mean, yes, it did happen on his watch, so some credit is due. But at the end of the day, I think we know this. He's only the president. And that's the thing we got to remember. The president isn't calling the shots. No president's calling the shots. Trump didn't call the shots.
Well, look,
Bush, Obama.
Biden, even more than most presidents, is not calling the shots. He isn't even competent to call the shots. But like you said, even a blind hog will find a good acorn every once in a while. This has worked out and is working out well for the American people. Don't listen to all these neocons chattering at you, talking about how shameful it is that America tucked and ran from Afghanistan. We need to tuck and run from just about every one of these military adventures, bring our military home, stop wasting money with the military-industrial complex, use our troops where they're needed on our borders to keep out foreigners, and have America for Americans for a change, and have the American military staffed with Americans, not trying to promote a woke agenda on America and the rest of the world. Imagine how happy the people in Afghanistan and the Middle East would be if Globo Homo was taken away from their particular nation, like Sam was talking about. This is what we need. This is a great development, and don't let, you know, Todd Starnes or Clay and what the people that took Rush Limbaugh's time slot over.
You know,
Todd
Starnes is actually pretty good.
He's pretty good in some ways, but on the other hand, anybody that tries to tell you that this is what we should be ashamed to leave, we should have been ashamed to go in the
first
place.
Well, I'll tell you, Todd Starnes, he may be wrong about that, but he's defended Nathan Bedford Forrest. He's done a lot of things that you'd never see a former Fox.
Well, I was just using that because I heard him recently say.
I ran into him, by the way, at the Republican National Convention a few years ago.
I think he's better than most of the mainstream conservative
people.
He's
TPC level, but I mean, as far as what you're going to get out there with in the GOP universe,
you know, he's certainly a lot better than David French and
oh my God, it's not even close. No,
the National Review.
Well, and Todd Starnes said some very matter of fact things about race. During the BLM uprising during that year. So, I mean, again, as much as he could.
On the other hand, don't fall into the trap of supporting the military-industrial complex. That is the primary beneficiary of all these endless wars. You know, the I remember there was a movie called Endless Summer about surfers going all over the world to surf. America has an endless summer of wars all the time, and has basically during my lifetime. It first started in Korea. We still have troops in Korea. We still have troops in Germany. We still have troops everywhere that we've been, basically, unless we've gotten thoroughly routed and run out like's happening in Afghanistan. We need more situations like Afghanistan where America departs permanently from the place. We need to stop messing around in other people's business.
When we come back, Gene Andrews will be back to provide us with all the details pertaining to General Forrest's forthcoming reinterment service. It's less than a month away. It's going to be happening in Middle Tennessee. We'll be back with Gene. First, me and Keith are going to listen to some Turtles songs, and we're going to do that during the break. We'll be back with you with the full head of steam.
We're going to be counting how many hits they had versus Grassroots.
We'll let you know how it shakes out, folks.